This is Low Moon Outsiders, and the story continues.
Anything special about going to bed? Are we posting a guard? Are we just all sleeping behind locked doors?
Barring the door.
You have the entire third floor, so.
Yeah, clearly as far as the door.
Close your shutters. Try to lock those.
Drop that.
I slipped below one time and then I got attacked.
One.
You should have shared a room with the kid.
Yeah, that'd be helpful.
I had a room by myself and shot a random guy that was trying to do something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I woke up.
I
didn't even wake up. That was what was funny. I slept through all of it.
Yeah. I was there to help. Nobody was there to help.
Okay. Checking to see if anything happens in the middle of the night. At least several hours goes by with no untoward circumstance. Seemingly far too early. The rooster crows. It wakes everybody up at least enough to go, oh, the rooster's crowing. And he doesn't stop like once. It's not like he crows at dawn and then stops. He just keeps crowing every so often. That's how roosters work, actually.
I'm going to go to sleep after dinner. So I'll add the rooster crow. I'll get up and get started.
Okay.
Get training.
Aim that arrow at the rooster.
Well, they only have one rooster, so that would be bad. If you kill the rooster, they'll be in trouble.
Put it away. Does this mean I
get all
my
breath back? Yes. If you're at bullet points, you have it all back.
Tomorrow. I have not bullet points.
So you get three times whatever your current hit points are. Okay, so we have healing, do we not? Does Lucas have healing?
Yes.
Is it healing one? Like regular healing? So everyone heals two hit points overnight for sleeping.
I am not healing.
Chiron can do healing. Yes, that would be better.
So I'm at four.
I just forgot he was a healing paladin for a second. All right, so you do, so Lucas heals nothing because he's a bull.
Hi, Ron. We'll seek out.
Yes, so you can heal everybody 5 points. That's better. Five is better than zero.
Sorry, I borrowed it. Still not a four.
Before going to sleep, I also would like to lay on hands myself. If that is not too late. Well, I guess no. When I go to sleep. Oh, yeah, it's a. I guess it's probably not that big a deal. We just do it this
way. Do what?
Lay on hands. I still had lay on hands left over
yesterday. I mean, sure, I could have used it, but it was going to do it fine. You ate dinner with them, you ate lunch with them.
Did anyone else need healing still?
Were you at full now?
I am short 6 points.
There you go.
Lucas, I'm full. I do need 24 hours, though.
For this character? I'm hurt a little.
How much you will?
46.
Here, these ones. Don't open another one. Use these ones.
I thought you were going to say 46.
Oh my God. It's like just a little.
I mean, we'd eat them tomorrow night anyway, but.
Okay, well, you're at full.
And Herrick was a little beat up, too, so.
I had 4 points for you, so.
Thank you.
And then I came to do the other two. Remember.
So you're at
this
four.
Point. So
obviously.
Do you know if Herrick is hurt?
I'm checking for sure, but I know he was hurt a little bit.
Well, I gave you 6 points.
Plus you got five for sleeping. Where does he keep his hit points at?
I need to get.
Oh, he was down 17. Five for sleeping.
Okay. Well, I'll give him 12 right now.
So now he's at full.
And bring out roll. Ooh, we came back this time. It's been a long time since that's happened. But we're down to 14 or above, so. 14 or above.
That's awesome. So now you just need somebody that's hurt. Got Gotta go looking for somebody that's hurt today.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're up in the morning with the rooster crow, or not too long after that. Everybody has a hearty breakfast. You're starting to feel better. You do have to train with all of your specialized weapons and maneuvers and everything every day, muscle, bodybuilding, and Stuart has to train with dance. Today you should be able to finish the longbow training, assuming she makes her check. Right? How many hours of training do you have left?
30.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
It's like bodybuilding for dexterity.
Can I get 5 more hours in today?
Sure.
Stuart?
If it's okay with them.
Can I get 5 more hours in today? Can I also seek out Tammy and do 3 more hours of cooking?
Sure.
I have a non-weapon.
I'd like to speak with Cordial and see if he happens to also be in the herbalist.
Tammy has herbalism.
Oh.
The base skill. She's not like a higher level, but she has basic.
Well, all I need is the base to get started.
Yep. There you go.
Maybe I'll see if she can train you a little bit.
Okay.
Herbalism.
She's happy to talk you through. In fact, she has an herb garden that she can go through and teach you at least all the ones that she's growing.
Nice. Herbalism is the one that allows me to be sad, right?
Yep.
Although
they tend to be pretty basic, but you also can pay for it with a healing proficiency is the thing, if you have one available.
Yes, that's what I plan to do. I get like...
Higher it gets, the better it gets.
D4 healing salve or something.
Certainly, usually. You probably make D4 healing salves with herbalism 1 if you have the right materials.
Thanks.
Okay. Anyway, so cooking, herbalism, that's fine. At least initially, there's no discussion of like her being paid or anything like that. She's just happy to have the companionship. And you do realize that Cordial seems to spend most of his time in the smithy. So you hear the clang clang of the smithy most of the day. Once you know, and then he does some like minor things around repairing and stuff like that. But yeah, it's like his garage. That's right. Okay. By nightfall, Lucas will lose a point of structural. Checking to see if anything odd happens throughout the day. Nope. So you have, call it 10 hours to break down between training, personal hygiene, like that. Roll a d20.
Well, okay. Not how much training I have.
All right. So at one point in time that day, this is during the second day. So you've slept here for one night, and it's after lunch on the next day.
Yep.
Okay. Then you're outside, and you notice that the dogs do not seem to respond as like agitated to you as they do to other people. At one point in time, like you're outside, and Tammy comes out of the side of the tavern to go to the mill, mm-hmm. and she's got a basket, like she's going to get grain or something. And the dogs, all of the dogs except for one, kind of run after her and bark and play, or you know, bounce around and play with, kind of batter off of each other, and that can nip each other from bumping each other and that kind of thing as she's walking. And she just pretty much ignores them.
How many dogs is it?
8.
My goodness.
So 2 of them are smallish, they're yippy dogs. 2 of them are hounds, so they're longer than they are tall, but they're big dogs, like 60 pounds, 80 pounds. So it usually starts around 8th level. That doesn't mean that you can develop an affinity with an animal sooner that could turn into a follower when that time comes, too.
Yeah.
But anyway, 1 of the 8 dogs, which is a big, it's a hound, or not a hound, it's a big husky-type dog, tall at the shoulder, probably almost 4 foot tall. Mm-hmm. And his coat's a little mangy and natty. It's like they don't brush him. per se. They all seem to be more like almost like strays. They feed them and stuff, and they stay in the yard, but they don't really care for them per se. And as the other seven all go yipping and barking and bumping after her and falling over each other and everything, and she's walking and she's just ignoring them, that dog just takes a few steps forward and basically sits down on the ground, pretty much next to you. He's about 5 feet away. He's the second largest of all of the dogs, but he looks pretty well muscled. He might actually be the strongest of the eight. Okay. He shies away a little, but not enough to get out of your reach. It's kind of like he's expecting to be disciplined more than anything. And you notice that he has a clump of burrs like in his fur that's near his like left hip and back area. It's kind of a little raw, like it's picking at his skin. And that's where one of the bigger patches of mane. Now you don't know where they're getting into burrs at, because if you look around the yard, there really is nothing in the way of like undergrowth or anything like that. But you see he's got, it's probably 8 or 10 of those really kind of catchy burrs that kind of grab onto each other and onto his fur. And it would take a good 5-10 minutes to get them out, unless you cut it out with a knife or a pair of scissors.
I'll get it out.
Okay. He like rolls over on the ground at first, and he's sniffing, looking to see what you're doing. And then ultimately he just lays there and lets you do it. Can't really get the burrs separated from each other, but you get them out without that much hair coming out. Just looks a lot better than he was doing. He was clearly pulling out a lot of hair trying to get them out, because the area is pretty beat up. Also, you notice he has some minor scratches and wounds. And so I think it might not be a bad idea to have Chiron look at him. There's a steady breeze today, and there's the windmill is creaking along.
Are the dogs leashed?
No. They don't have collars or leashes. They're almost like strays, except they're kept inside the walls. You notice in taking care of him that he does not have fleas.
What's Chiron?
So this is after lunch, so probably training with weaponry, I would assume.
That's an option.
Okay, so she left you there to go get grain from the mill, but she said she'd be back. You saw him with her previously, and you're not sure where he's at now, but he's somewhere in the tavern.
Dogs alone in the tavern?
They haven't been in since you've been there.
But I'll go in and get Chiron, let him know that there's a dog kind of wounds.
Okay. So he finds you in the, where you're looking, you see he's like, he's bent over, peering at the veins and whatnot in a leaf, in a little ceramic tray that's growing in the one section of the kitchen.
Outside there's a dog. Got a few like battle scars, wounds. I don't know. Maybe you can look at it.
Let me take a look.
Both of you roll for surprise.
Oh, fun. Two, surprised.
D8 for you.
I need a D8.
Four.
Okay. Your heart leaps into your throat for a second as the door to the kitchen slams open and you realize it's Tammy coming back with her hands full of baskets of grain. Your head snaps around, but it's just Tammy. See three or four birds, smallish birds, like swallow-sized, like take off away from the door as she steps inside. And you realize that she was being harried by the local bird population trying to steal the grain as she was carrying it back from the mill.
Like an easily surprised trait or something.
I mean, you could give yourself easily surprised, but then it wouldn't have any battle effect. You'd just be easily surprised in non-battle conditions. That way it'd be entertaining to roleplay without hurting you desperately.
Well, although I've surprised every combat so far, so maybe we should just swap this for a D4 and find some kind of benefit.
So for half a proficiency slot, I would allow you to take easily surprised in non-combat situations and give you alertness. So that in combat situations, you would roll a d20 and have your chance to be surprised.
Other half of proficiency.
That would be up to you to figure out. You could get 8 or less in herbalism. But then that would be a regular proficiency. You wouldn't want that. So you'd have to use another non-weapon. Because unfortunately, not being surprised is not really healing proficiency. So it doesn't really work that way.
Yeah. I like to see.
My character in RJ's game has half a proficiency in meditation. I can meditate on a 5 or less. And then he has a kind of a disadvantage that he gets frustrated when he fails to meditate. So like he's trying to find a place to meditate. He's trying to meditate. Okay. He gets up mad every
it's
time.
It's too bright out here. It's a field.
It's in the sun. You're sitting in the sun, you fool. He stomps off, sits in the shade, still fails to meditate, comes back angry. It's too dark. That's about how it goes. I think he's tried to meditate like 5 times while I've been trying to play, and he successfully meditated once.
Those have to check out.
Yep.
All right, I'll go outside and look for the dog.
Okay, yeah, so you go outside, and all 8 dogs come and bark at you. So you figure he's got to be here, because they're all here.
I'll point at the ones that one
is it. Okay. Yeah. As soon as you come out and point at him, he like separates himself from the pack and comes around beside Asturd and kind of rubs up against Asturd's leg, but it doesn't look like it's a soft, affectionate rub. It's more like a bump. And he is minor. He has a bit of mange, and then when you look at him, you see that he's so. You assess with your healing skill that the majority of the mange is from him pulling his own hair out.
Goodness.
And the reason is because his burrs and other things in his fur, and so he's grooming himself because it's uncomfortable to have that stuff in your fur, and he's doing it by pulling his own hair out.
Okay.
So
I don't doubt healing does much for burrs. But.
Well, not so much for burrs, but you can heal the cuts and the scratches and stuff. You just have a negative because it's... Or no, you don't.
No,
you have
my full roll on.
On answers, yep. There you go. So you could do a full healing on him, which will almost surely put him in good shape.
Okay, I will do so. 18, just barely made it.
Okay.
I think that's exact, I would say, but D6. Wonderful. There we go. Yeah, we got 19 points.
Nice. Okay, so he is definitely at full, all of his...
That's actually not narrowly beat it. My roll is 21 or less.
He is fully healed over. I mean, some of it's going to scar, unfortunately. His fur is not back, but you can see that, like, in the patch areas, that there is starting to grow back. So it will grow back as long as the itching doesn't drive him nuts. And it occurs to you that you think there was an herb that she talked about was good for, like, itching and dermatological benefits. And you're pretty sure either you could pay her or just talk her into teaching you how to make a salve to cut down on the itching. Chamomile, you think it was. And then you can put that on the dog and it would stop him. Because if his itch is too much, he'll gouge it before it can grow.
That's a really good idea.
Okay. So go ahead and roll a d20.
Let's see if I can get a salve to help him keep from itching it open as well. We got 4 on the d20.
Okay. So while he's doing that, he goes back inside to get the salve. The dogs, basically, the other 7 dogs just go off and are doing whatever. But the one that you've been helping still stays near you and just kind of sits there. And he sits kind of like with his privates kind of hanging out to the sun. So kind of like relaxed, basically. Occasionally gives himself a lick, that kind of thing. So he just looks relaxed. And then you talk to her and she's like, oh, sure, whatever. But she does restrict how many leaves you can take. because you don't kill the plant off. But it should be enough to make a minor salve for the areas that are grown back. And so you do that successfully. So you can mark down that you have 4 hours of training toward herbalism.
Yes.
And you put the salve on the dog. He seems nervous at first. And it does have a, you can smell it. There's a scent to the salve. But once he has it on, he seems to recognize that it's stopping the itch, and he's pretty good. From that point on, whenever you are out in the courtyard, he pretty much follows you around. So the other dogs chase shadows, the occasional squirrel, chipmunk, small bird, anything that lands in the courtyard. The seagulls land in the courtyard frequently enough and on the walls, and they chase them off the walls. They bark at them in the courtyard, whatever like that. And he kind of joins in with them when you're not around, but when you're in the courtyard, he stops. And he does go as far as the door. Like when you go back in the inn or wherever, he goes that far, but he doesn't go in the building. Unless you're trying to take him in the building. Okay. So lunch is good. Dinner is good. You're approaching nightfall again. And at about dusk of the full day after you came, you take it over there if you want. Just take them over there. What's that? Yeah, they're pretty good. I bought those at the grocery store on Summit Street, Broadway, on Broadway by South and Broadway, and they're like near their date or just like at their use by date, and they're 3 bags for $1. So I bought 6 bags. I'm going to use them for Tuesday night snacks and whatever. 3 bags for $1. Oh, speaking of which, I bought you a Taco Bell hot sauce. It's in my house. I forgot how many. Oh, and those 2 shirts are in my van. If we can remember that at the end. There's like 4 shirts in my van because I brought an extra 2 in case Tommy wanted to wear one on Sunday that he didn't want to wear. Anyway, okay, so as night settles in, someone arrives at the inn, and Cordial lets him in, and it is a large, kind of roundish, very, very strong-looking gentleman. He's probably in his late 30s. He has a big red beard, mustache, square-off chin under his beard. Maybe has a hint of dwarven blood or something, and he wears big furs. Like, it looks like he's wearing a bear fur, you're pretty sure. And then he has some smaller furs, like, covering his chest and forward extremities. And he wears a black top hat, like a gentleman's hat, basically. Stovepipe hat, like Abraham Lincoln type of style. And he comes in, tosses on a table, and he has his 6 servants or sons or something with him. The oldest of which looks to be like he's in his low 20s, and the youngest of which is about 10 or so. And they all come in the tavern, they all order food, and they very quickly, it's evident that Cordial knows them, and they settle in. And about 11 o'clock or so, is anyone still awake at that time?
What's that?
Is anyone staying awake till 11 o'clock at night?
No.
Okay. So no one's awake, but you do hear faint lute music coming from the inn room.
Does it wake me up?
Not enough to keep you awake, but just maybe because of your keen ranger senses, you think, oh, lute music. Okay, it's an inn. Nothing to be worried about.
How much more training could I have gotten in after I was done with the herbalism with my weapons? Do I have
yeah, you can. So you'd need 8 hours. Not unless you're staying up late, because that would have been 3-4 o'clock. So 3, if you need 8 hours, that would put you up at 11.
Be finishing my bodybuilding room at 11.
Okay. Yep. So you hear the lute music begin downstairs.
Lucas spent his entire day doing bodybuilding, all 3 weapons, and his weapon wielder training.
Okay. So you started on your bodybuilding a little earlier, but your back near your spine, your ribs is kind of giving you some aches and stuff, so you didn't finish it. And then you went ahead and did all your weapons. And then after dinner, you went to finish up the bodybuilding, and you noticed that the soreness was a lot better. So things seemed to be shifting back into place and less achy.
You would like to work with the horses at some point, but
well, it'll be easier without the structural.
Yeah.
Also, if you need 8 hours of training every day, it would be easier if you could get in a fight.
I was going to say we should get in some trouble, but just waiting for the role play opportunity.
Okay. All right. So in the morning at breakfast, the fur trader, the guy with the top hat, and about half his sons are in the tavern, and it's clear that they're planning on heading out today. They were just spending the night. And they do have furs for sale, leather, if anybody needs leather. He has several sets of man-sized leather gloves.
Yes, water skins.
He does, yes. Water skins, wine skins.
You'll buy an extra water skin.
Leather pouches, one leather cloak. He has a gray doe skin top that's made for a female, and it doesn't go down all the way to your waist. That covers your shoulders and everything, but it stops short of your like belly button. Says he got it from the gypsies. He doesn't have any strange colors. Everything is brown, black, gray. He does have a doe skin that is white, but it's not fashioned in anything. So you'd have to be able to make it into something yourself or just wear it like that. It's an actual deer skin. It's dried, so it's ready to be used, but it's not cut or laced. Interested in giving financially to Low Moon and support the campaign? Text LMGIVE, that's LM Give, to 419-419-0095. Wine skins are wine or water skins, same thing, would be a silver piece each. If you want to purchase those, he's got six total that he can sell. Six brand new. He seems like an entrepreneur mentality, so like he would sell just about anything he owns. He'd sell his hat if anybody wants to buy a black stovepipe top hat for one gold.
Probably a magical hat.
But it's made of beaver skin.
I wouldn't wear it.
Okay. So by about an hour after suitable breakfast time, all the sons/servants are up, and they're all gathering together. The last couple of them that got up eat on the way out the door, and they leave, and Cordial bars the door behind them. Nothing untoward happened. And you're back to your routine. Cooking?
Sure.
Mark down 3 more hours of training if you want. Herbalism?
Yeah, I'll
forget. You can mark down 3 more hours of herbalism.
He'll also ask us there to do 5 more hours of longbow.
Mm.
So. Okay. And I'll try and if Lucas is around for breakfast. Would Lucas be around for breakfast? So thinking about looking for some trouble today.
Then you gotta walk down and get the arrows back.
I'm not sure it would save us any time.
Fight off the bugs.
But how long it takes. Tonight I saw a group of guys, quarter mile away, looking through the woods. other movement. You might not have to go too far.
Well, if you're going, I'll go with you. I did save some time working with these horses.
Yeah, if we can save a few hours, I mean, I would be good.
You'd save more time if you had horses, but you have to. It's kind of like a catch 22. You train the horses first, which takes a lot of time.
And then we can both train the horses. Hopefully, get them saddled.
Getting them saddled today would be tough, probably, but.
Well, not his.
I can saddle mine.
And you can saddle them both. Problem is, his is going to be more unruly.
Yeah. It'll go roughly where I want it to. That's all I need, but.
No promises.
But also, it's kind of a gamble to go that way. That off first.
Oops. Shot a seagull. It's flying right in front of the target.
Trying to make that last time with a seagull. Tomorrow is supposed to be when. What's the name? Let's see it up.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll spend 2 hours with the horses.
Though, you really need to spend time with yours. I wouldn't be of much help breaking them. They just kind of already listen. But, you see an opportunity, come get me. I'll be looking out.
So after that, I'll herbalism training.
Okay.
And then I'll work with one of the horses a little bit and try to be in an area where I can see over the wall.
Okay. Yeah, so as long as you're not too close to it, you can kind of see over the wall. You won't be able to see at the bottom of the wall, but you can see the countryside.
I just want to keep an eye out for any movement or if I could spot any humanoids or large animals.
Something worthy of a brawl, basically?
Yes.
Okay. Nothing obviously nearby, but you do see like the silhouette of some large flying beast, but it's probably decades or tens of miles away is the problem. You do find that the horse that you're dealing with is probably not as far away from being able to be ridden as you would hope. Obviously, being a cavalier, you're pretty good in general at mastering horses. You figure like a few hours, maybe five or whatever, of working with him, tiring him out mostly. You gotta take the edge off of his strength. He'd probably be rideable. He'll be tired. So he's not going to be rideable like for a full day's ride or anything, but you could probably get him in 3 to 5 hours. You could probably get him to the point where you could pretty much ride him like normal. But then like tomorrow, once he's rested, he's going to be back to the same place again.
Okay.
And if you did that for a few days, he would probably be... So knights that medium and heavy war horses, for example, they rarely ever fully break them anyway because you want them to fight. You don't want them to be docile.
For sure.
So, and then if you broke a horse like that, and then if it bit and it tastes blood anyway, it would probably just undo everything that you did anyway. So you want them to be able to be in the midst of conflict and still be alert.
Yeah. So I mean, I'll do that. I'll work with it for 3-4 hours and see where we're at.
Okay. Roll a d20. I roll percentiles.
81.
Okay, so after about 3 hours, you know, he's tired. He's not lathered up, but he's clearly tires, panty heavy, that kind of thing. And you have the saddle on, saddle blanket on, you have stirrups, you have bit and bridle. I mean, you definitely could ride him. If you ride him for a couple hours, he's going to start to lather up, and then you have to be careful not to overdo it. But yeah, he should be, you could ride him today for 2 or 3 hours, probably. He's just going to get more and more tired.
Okay.
Okay, and that puts you through till like almost dinner time too. So with the herbalism and.
What time is it getting dark right now?
It's been getting dark around 7 to 8 o'clock after dinner, basically. So an hour to 2 hours after dinner.
Okay. Well, I'll I guess I'll do dinner and. We'll rest for half an hour and we'll have dinner and then saddle up after that.
Okay. Everybody eats dinner. Do the markdown, whatever training. Keep track of weaponry. Lucas did spend time on the horse?
If he's spending time on his, then Lucas won't.
Okay.
Because
yeah, well, it won't take, I mean, like, within, if you animal friendship the horse, it'll balk a little bit at the saddle just because it's not used to it, but you'd be able to ride it within half an hour even.
Right. He's not worried about it. He'll deal with it once he's sure that he's buying it.
Okay.
He goes against himself.
The guy already said he'd sell it.
He did say he would sell it.
Right.
You said, I'll buy it for a reasonable price, and he says, I like to sell things for a reasonable price. So that was perfect. Okay. Anyway, so half an hour after dinner, you're mounting the horse and going to look for trouble?
Yep.
Okay.
Not going too far.
You will need someone to open the gate and close the gate behind you because it is far from the inside.
Invite Stuart as well.
Okay. Well, he doesn't have a horse, but.
Dinner time. Stuart, I'm going to look for trouble. You want to come? You're good at finding things.
I don't know if I'm particularly good at finding trouble.
Well, you're finding things.
Eric says, well, trouble usually makes tracks.
Are you looking for something to hunt?
Looking for something that, yeah, I guess so.
A bear, a wolf, a deer?
Ideally, goblins, kobolds, hobgoblins. But I wouldn't be opposed to bandits, wolves, giant bees.
Eric says, dragon?
Yeah, I would be opposed.
Trying not to bite off more than you can chew.
Yeah, ideally.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. So everyone else is there. Is anyone else chiming in on this not dragon hunt?
Anything.
Lucas will go with them. He already said he would. So.
Okay. Are you?
This is like, now that a steward's coming,
are you attempting to ride your horse? The horse?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll try to get the horse saddled.
All right. What about Klum?
Klum.
Okay. Wait. I'm sensing you guys are going on an adventure. Herrick will decline.
Okay.
And so will Liam.
No.
Okay. Roll the d20 real quick, if you would. Herrick says he'll open and close the gate for you.
Two. Appreciate that.
Okay. So it's about an hour before dark. It's the early part of twilight, only because there are mountains and hills to the west as well. So the sun is behind the mountains, but it's not dark outside. So it'd probably be dark in about an hour, hour and a half, something like that. When you go outside and you're headed for the gate, you know, the dogs come up and they're barking at the group, but you notice there are only six. And the one in particular, the one that you were tending to, took the burrs out of, like, is not there.
The gate's already open?
No, the gate's not open. Oh. I could just be off sleeping somewhere, but they don't seem to do that.
I mean, Chiron would be paying particular attention to that, so...
No. Stuart's the one who noticed it. If he says something, then...
Wouldn't notice until Stuart said something. If he said something.
So there's significantly less dogs. Two less.
Yes. Are they maybe napping somewhere, or...
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping so. I mean, they're all usually riled up at this point, except for maybe the one that follows me around. I don't see anything good. Do they have like a kennel close by, or they just free roam?
They pretty much sleep wherever. There's kind of curl up next to the log pile or alongside the smithy.
Real quick, I suppose.
The two dogs are obviously not in the normal places you would expect to see them.
Are there any places for them to really hide around?
I mean, there's space behind the smithy. I mean, there's definitely a chicken coop. You'd think the chickens would definitely react to that.
Chickens will.
I mean, if you take 5 minutes and make a reasonably thorough search, you'll find out they do not appear to be in the yard, anywhere in the yard.
They've gotten over the wall.
There's a couple places where they could. Like, there's a rain barrel. So if they were trying to, they could easily. You could probably look and see, like check tracking and see. Okay. Klum and Lucas are standing patiently waiting. Herrick is standing next to the bar for the door, the gate to let you guys out. And you've spent 5 minutes searching so far. Ropes and Tales.
59.
Okay. So you search around and you find at least two places where they could potentially get over the wall if they really wanted to. Wouldn't take much. One's like a bin, like a square, almost like a potato bin box, about 4 foot by 3 foot by 3 foot, and it would be really easy for a dog that size to get up on there. Now, how they'd get back in, unless there's something on the outside, would be tricky. But neither one of those, you're pretty sure after using tracking, neither one of those look like that's how they get out. But next to the smithy is the chicken coop, and there is a narrow walk basically that goes along behind the chicken coop, and then you can reach inside and get the eggs. So the chickens go in the front, the eggs come out the back basically. And at the end of that walk, right against the wall of the smithy, you see basically it looks like a boulder. It's about 18 to 20 inches in diameter and kind of oblong, sitting against the corner between the wall of the whole keep basically and the smithy. And you see signs of like loose dirt, and you realize that they've finished basically a tunnel or a hole that goes kind of under and partly through the base of the wall to go outside. And it doesn't look new. It looks like the digging is obvious, but they've been doing it for a while. Yeah, like as in, you would guess that they've been in and out the hole maybe at least 5 or 6 times.
Like today?
No.
Like,
looks like they went out once today, but looks like they've been through it multiple days. Which also fits with the fact that he had like cuts and scratches, like he'd been in a tussle. Which could have just been from the other dogs, but now that you think about it, it sounds like maybe they've been out getting into trouble.
I'll go back to the group and then kind of encourage the guy to track the dog.
You can. You'd have to go outside, obviously.
Makes sense where all the birds came from.
Yeah. Because you know, really, burrs inside here. So.
Didn't really think about that.
If you don't want to miss any of the story, Low Moon Origins, Uprising, or Outsiders, like and follow our podcast. Please share it with friends.
Okay. Herrick pulls the bar down.
Go around to where the hole is.
Open the gate. Everybody goes outside. Go around. So you got to go around counterclockwise because the mill sits in the way to go clockwise. Or you'd have to go in the water. You could go in the water if you wanted to because it's only a few feet deep there, but may as well just go around the other way instead of the water. All right. Lucas and Chiron are riding their horses. They're spirited, distractible, but not bad. Like, keep the reins tight. You can control them. You go around the outside. You find a spot. So it's really well camouflaged. like on this side, there's brush right up against the wall, and like you don't have any trouble figuring out where it's at because you can see where the smithy is on the other side. But you know that, like, looking from the outside, no one would see it.
I guess I'll track him from there.
Okay, roll tracking. Nice. Okay, you easily pick up their tracks. It's the two of them together. So it's the big muscle dog, the one that you've been taking care of. He's not the biggest dog, but he's probably the strongest. And then one of the middle size, not a hound. And they're both older, more like maybe mixed breed. Okay, and you begin to track them. Okay, so they are paralleling the river up away from the keep, staying on the keep side, so they did not cross the river. They didn't go to the south. They went on the side that you haven't been yet, basically. All right. There's high grass here, 3 or 4 feet high, but it's pretty downtrodden, a lot of little pathways and stuff, and so it's not too hard to pick your way through without, like, hacking at the grass or even having to push it out of the way. But they are not on the road. They're going through the pathways in the grass. Okay. After about a quarter of a mile or so you're that far from the keep, you still easily see it, you run into what looks to be the remnants of a cornfield. So they're actual stalks of corn, look like they were intentionally planted. There's no corn on them. They look probably a season old. It doesn't, where you're at right here, it does not snow a lot in the winter, so it's entirely possible that they're left over from last season. It's not thick by any means. I mean, they're every 4 or 5 feet, and the ground is pretty covered by bits of the, like, leftover old corn, that kind of thing. The plant, not the ears. Okay, easily tracking the dogs. At about a mile and a half, stop me if I'm getting too far away or anything, the forest is on your left. The hills are straight ahead of you. The river separates you and the forest. So there's the forest, then the river, then you as you're moving. Who, does anyone have direction sense?
I think Harris does.
Harris, not here. Lucas does? Okay. So you know you're moving westward, and you can see that the sun is set behind the mountains to the west. And everyone can kind of tell you're headed, generally speaking, to where the sun sets. You know, it's basically west. Okay. And then at about 2 miles or so, river's still on your left, and you've been verging away from it, so the river's probably a mile away on your left-hand side. You don't really see the river anymore, or hear it for that matter. Nighttime forest sounds are beginning. You don't see the gulls much anymore. The ground is kind of soft, like swampy almost, not dangerously so or anything, but just like mucky, very wet. And it'll be dark in probably about a half an hour. So, like, if you turned and went back quickly now, you wouldn't make it back before dark. So, kind of taking that into account. And you do know that you're not far behind the dogs. Like, the tracks that you're tracking are, like, within the last 15 minutes, half an hour, or something like that. They're fresh tracks.
Okay. And they've all just continued to go away from the
tracks?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have two dogs that you're tracking, and they've been not a beeline per se, because they were all in those trails.
Distracted, I'm sure.
But pretty straightforward. They're going somewhere. It's clear that they have an intention.
Yeah. 2 miles. We know where we're going.
Yeah. Well, and they are free roaming animals, so yeah. They'll go pretty far, about 100 miles without batting an eye if there's a reason. Okay. Anyway, so after the cornfield, you come to like a ledge, and there's a pretty steep drop down. Nothing dangerous, but it's like about a 10-15 foot drop over about a 20 feet area, so it's almost 45 degrees down. Mm-hmm. Down to the right on that ledge, there's an old house, and the house appears to be burnt out. Pretty good size, enough for, you know, probably had 3 or 4 bedrooms in it at one time. but it's burnt out. You can see black marks around the windows, and the roof has part of the roof is missing. You can see the rafters and that kind of thing.
Recently?
No. I mean, not in the last weeks, probably. And then you see the dogs go over the ledge, and then they take a pretty sharp turn to the right. And there is a trail at the bottom of the ledge that's packed earth. And it's running, generally speaking, toward the farmhouse. Okay. The horses navigate the ledge pretty easily, but both of you make a ride check to see if they maintain their temperament.
65. 87.
Okay, yeah. So they fuss a little. You have to tighten the reins and pull their head in. Roll a d20 if you would.
19.
Okay. So you've noticed this entire time that the horse that you're riding seems to, the whole time you've been coming down here, he seems to want to go to the right. And then when you go over this ledge and he goes and he's turning to the right, he does not specifically want to go to the right. So you go over the ledge, and then he's kind of still going straight, because that was the way you were going previously. You came straight up to the ledge. And probably 10 times leading up to that, he had tried to turn to the right, and you had to pull him back. Now you go to the ledge, you go to turn to the right, and he's still trying to go straight. Once you turn to the right, now he's fine. But it just took a second for him to adjust to the idea that you're going to the right. But like at least 10 times, he tried to pull to the right like he was going to go somewhere, and you just kept him under control. And now he's...
Plants on the right that stood out?
No, I mean, you've been in the cornfield for the last mile. Three quarters of a mile. What's left of the cornfield. Random stalks. Okay. So you go along that pathway. You are narrowing in on that house. This trail looks like it'll go right past it.
Or right to it.
Or both. Probably. Okay. As you approach the house, you see that it's basically built into the rise. And so you didn't see it from the left, even when you were going through the cornfield. You were only a quarter, half mile away, and you didn't see it. It does stick up above, but it's not obtrusive, so it didn't have any light or anything. It is dark now. Okay? The elves are on infravision. Those who have infravision are on infravision, ultravision, whatever. Any kind of vision. Okay.
Torches.
Sturd proposes a light. So you can see, but like not well. So not into dark areas, not far away. It's about a 30% overcast night, so there is starlight and there is moonlight. You can see, just not great. Torch would make it a lot better up close. We're going to light a torch.
Let me see if my pendant I got from the fairies will create light.
No.
I'll light a torch.
Okay, do you have flint or steel or a method of lighting it?
I'm not sure.
Does a Sturd have flint and steel?
No,
or
I don't.
Does Lucas have flint?
I do have.
You just need a piece of flint because you have plenty of.
I have.
There you go. All we really need is a piece of flint. I have torches, like my kingdom, for a piece of flint. Otherwise, you need fire ability. You got to get down. You got to get a stick. You rub it against another stick for a really long time. Okay, you light the torch. You have one torch?
I have five.
I'm saying, are you lighting one torch?
Oh, yes, I'm lighting one
torch. Okay, so we have one torch. You can see around you for 30 feet in every direction. It's quite bright.
Five torches. Everybody take a torch.
Yes.
Burn them all at once.
In a few hours, it's going to have a problem. All right, anyway, so yes. So you approach the house. The orange flickering light of the torch bounces off what appears to be an old, whitewashed building. It was two stories. The top is completely burnt out. Okay. The pathway does lead near to it and is going to go along what is actually the front of it. You can see that the door is open and there's deep shadows inside. The dogs do not go to the house, they go past it, according to the tracks. And they should not be far ahead of you at all.
I'm going to stick the torch inside the house real quick and make sure there's nobody in there.
Okay, you ride the horse over, wave the torch around. The house bursts into flames. No.
It's a very dry house.
Very dry.
It's a granary.
Anyway, no, so it appears to be unoccupied.
checks.
You do see a dead body in the front, what would be considered the front yard. And it is badly ravaged by scavenging animals. But given the basic bone structure, you would say it was not human. A little tall for a human and kind of round in the torso. So you're not a real, not real expert on monsters, but some kind of humanoid.
Okay.
Okay. Yep. On you go. So you follow past. Once you get past that house, the trail winds down to the left away from the ridge, and you can see below you, nestled in a grove of trees, another half dozen buildings. It looks like a small village, basically. You do not see any light nor smoke rising or any sign of anyone like living in the village.
And the tracks continue to head towards
Are headed toward the village.
Okay.
Okay. As you head toward the village, the horse tries to turn to the right. And you steer him back on proper course.
Look over this horse. I mean, he's got like a injury on his left shoulder.
No, he doesn't appear to be injured at all. Tired, but not injured.
I don't know. He's steering to the right. He wants to eat something or see something.
Perhaps Herrick could speak to it. He does do that sometimes, talk to animals. Okay. So you follow the tracks down. They basically go into the center of the village. You see six buildings. Four of the six buildings are completely burnt out. They all look like small houses, basically. The fifth building is larger, bigger than a house, like an inn, perhaps. It has a porch, and it is badly damaged. Broken windows, roof is caved in, that kind of thing. And then the sixth building is like an open. It has a rail across the front, and that you can see right into it, and you can see a large stone fireplace in the back. Kind of gives the impression of a smithy. And then everyone can roll for surprise. No one is surprised?
I am.
Oh. You had to do it, didn't you?
I wasn't surprised, so somebody else had to be.
Yeah. Neither horse is particularly surprised. Anyway, okay, so one of the dogs, not the one that you were tending to, but it's one of the medium-sized dogs from the keep or from the tavern, comes running out of the building that kind of looks like a smithy, and he seems a little surprised to see you and the horses and whatever, and then he starts barking at you and the horses, and then skitters away to go, and he's going to kind of go between one of the two, between the two buildings that are there, the big building and one of the smaller buildings.
Like barking at us nastily or barking at us to go catch him?
I mean, about the same as he did when you came outside, so it's more of a, I'm a dog and I bark at things bark than it is particularly meaningful.
Continue to move down towards it.
Okay. So what you basically have here, it looks like, is a ruined village. It was set in a copse of trees so as to be somewhat secluded, like protected from the surrounding area. And on the backside of the village, behind the building that looks like a smithy, you find a stream that runs through the wood. And it seems like a pretty prime place to build a village. After kind of snooping around a bit, you find a few dead bodies, human and humanoid. And so it's pretty clear that humanoids came through and killed off the humans, and the ones, any humans that remain ran, probably. The whole thing is, it's not recent. It's weeks, probably, ago, at least. Okay. After searching around a bit, you do find the other dog, the one that you're familiar with, whatever. You also locate, there's like a, it's almost like a lean-to kind of thing that's built on the side of one of the houses. And he comes out from like this little alley between the two houses. And then you see that they built a little, whoever owned that house built a little roof off the edge of the house. And it's got supports that go to the ground. And there's some rotted, or more like frayed, like decaying cloth in there. And it gives you the impression of like it's an intentional doghouse, basically. Mm-hmm. It's a place for the dog to stay.
Is that something else?
Yeah, so it looks like at least that dog, the one that you've been dealing with, this is where he comes from. Like he was, this was his village.
Or he said druid and he set up a lean to for himself.
Okay. Dog, are you a druid? Have you forgotten?
Are you a druid?
Have you forgotten?
Sometimes I just have to make sure.
You've read Fog and Moon fiction. Or at least heard the stories, the lore.
I have read Aubrey's draft.
Oops. Be careful. It's going to make a mess. Okay. So there are some like miscellaneous things laying around, weapons, armor. This is, you know, left over from the original battle. Whether any of it's worth worrying about, considering you've got bags of money back at the tavern, is debatable. But there is some spoils here to be gotten if somebody wanted them. And
the dog just lives here?
No, he lives at the tavern. He comes back here because this is where he lived before his humans were killed. Yeah, apparently that's your thinking. Okay, so having spied out the village, are you interested in any of the trappings or any of the things that may have been left behind, or you're just not going to worry about it? Okay. Sturt is snooping a bit.
Unless I see a mortar and pestle, but just in passing, but I'm not going to go out of my way to look for one.
Okay. All right. Okay, so you see firewood, a couple of beaver pelts, a pound of salt. These are things that might actually be of interest. A hatchet, which could be thrown like a hand axe. Two arrows in good condition in a quiver.
Cool.
Volunteers to carry the quiver and two arrows.
All three of them.
Okay. There are three long swords. They seem fairly normal looking, but they are long swords. And a long sword is not an inexpensive thing.
That's all 10 gold for a new long sword.
A spear. A fishing pole, 50 foot of rope.
How much rope do I got?
On the back side of one of the houses, there is a cart, and in the cart there are a half dozen folded blankets in good condition, a frying pan.
Big blankets, small blankets?
Like bed-sized, full-size blankets. Are you checking in the cart to see if there's anything else? Or?
Yeah, I'll check.
Okay. So in the cart, you also find a knife with an intricately carved whalebone or some kind of bone handle. and a bow. It is a long bow. It is in good condition. It is not strung, but the string is present.
Pick the knife that I have, Joe.
I think it's your bow.
Whale bow knife,
the bow string. Bow string for you to carry.
The bow, the knife, and the hatchet, that we said.
I can take a bow string too. Yeah.
It's already unstrung. Might as well.
I mean, it's a nice looking bow. It, you figure it would sell for at least 20 gold by itself. That's minimum.
How much are the blankets?
Blankets are cheap. Probably silver for the most. They're good quality blankets, but probably a silver each.
Give it to the tanner.
That's true, because and they're just going to sit here and go to waste if somebody doesn't take them. Okay.
12 or 20?
Blankets?
Yeah.
Six. Six blankets.
Half a dozen.
Yeah.
Almost a dozen.
20 dozen.
You also found a pouch that's got some coin in it. A purple handkerchief. Handkerchief in good condition. A dice set. 2d6. Okay. So while he's doing this, are the three of you doing anything?
I'm just going to scout around the outside of the town.
Okay. Roll a d20. Clum.
With 17.
Yeah, going with Kyle. Okay. Are you going with him then? Are the three of you all going together? Kind of like around the outside edge?
Sure.
Okay. Roll a d20.
6.
Okay. So all three of you are aware, as you come around the backside of this village that's in the trees, right? And the trees are, it's a forest, but it's more like a big copse of trees, if you will. So it's probably not any more than mile across or something, you don't think, and it kind of goes downhill into the forest, and you can see down in the forest there is a building that stands alone by itself. There's definitely, you see a line, and it kind of goes up like that, and the reason it stands out is because there's light there, like there must be a fire burning. It's kind of, you can see it flickering, and you can see forms, probably human or humanoid forms. You see at least two of them kind of walk in a place where you can see. And you can faintly hear monotone like chanting.
I'll shout back to Astur.
Astur finds a pirate flag. It's a 2-foot by 3-foot flag with a skull and crossbones on it.
That's cool. I'll shout back to Astur.
Astur, are you ready to go? I think we found our trouble.
Let us know what you were looking for.
Trouble.
Oh, wait, the pirate flag.
On the ground where the pirate flag was, you see a black book. It's about six inches by 8 inches by 3 inches thick. Bound in leather. It looks like a diary or something.
Can I open it?
Sure. So it has papyrus pages, so they're pretty thick, probably only about like 20 pages total, but tucked in amongst the pages is a vellum letter. It's a letter written on vellum, which is a finer kind of paper, smoother, do you speak any languages other than common?
I would say no.
Okay. So it is not in a language that you recognize. However, you can tell by the spacing on the paper, there's a heading on the top and it has some numbers next to it. And then there's two paragraphs of writing. And on the bottom, it looks like it's signed almost like a letter. And then down on the bottom center below that, it looks like it's signed again. And you don't really, most of the characters you don't recognize, but you can tell that that's two names, like free-handed names. So it looks like it's a contract or a letter from one person to another, something like that. And it's like the paper quality is pretty good. Like, it's not paper, it's vellum, which is almost feels like animal skin, but very thin. And the book is empty. There's no writing in it at all.
Okay.
It's like a brand new book.
Brand new journal or whatever. No one's written in yet.
And it's in good condition. It was laying on pretty much under the flag. Okay. What are we doing? We are running out of time.
Going down. As soon as it starts raining, going down towards the fire.
Okay.
Yeah, Lance, unfortunately.
All right, so Lucas and Chiron are riding the horses down. The two of you are walking, kind of spread out, prepared for trouble, weapons in hand. Arrow notched?
I got like 6 blankets and 9.
You can set the blankets down temporarily, considering this looks like it could be trouble.
Higher flag.
Both consider trouble.
Yeah.
Okay, so set the blankets next to a tree or something. Okay. All right. So he notches an arrow. Do do do. Do 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 do. Do. Okay. You creep down. Mind you, you are seeing by a torch. So as you get closer, you realize they will know you're coming. It's not like you're going to surprise them. Unless you're going to put the torch down and go, like, dark.
I could set off my lights and send them coming from the other way so they won't see they're coming from back here.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Which then would also probably mean putting the torch out. You can see enough to get by with the torch out. It's not going to be great detail, but some of you can see in the dark anyway. Lucas can, for sure. Can you see in the dark? No. Okay. So Lucas can see in the dark, and the others of you can see the dark. So, and there's fire down there.
We'll survive.
All right, so we're going to put the torch out so we're not, like, giving our position away, right? And then you're going to make colored lights and float them in from the side to kind of distract.
Okay.
Is it dancing lights?
Dancing lights.
Yeah, okay. So dancing lights do look like torch light, basically. So you make like three torch lights coming in from a different direction. So if they spot. Okay, so roll a d4. It's behind your d12. It's hiding.
Four.
Okay. So she makes four lights, and then as you're coming down the hill toward them, she kind of has them float around from another side. Okay, let's see how well that goes. Okay. And torch. Okay, get rid of the torch. The music. Why is there no music? It's supposed to be music. Check out Things Were Different Back Then, the origin story of Lord Victor, told from a certain point of view. All right, so as you're approaching down, what you see before you is, and it's a pretty steep slope down towards, so you would have the upper ground if you decide to do something. You see the remnants of an old stone building. It has three columns, and both of the outside two columns are broke off at about 6 to 8 feet high, but the center column still rises fully to a stone flat roof, which has been destroyed. Bits of column and stone lie around the ground. There is a stone platform on the ground in front of it, and on that platform is a fire. Around the fire are two human females. They are scantily clad and kind of painted up. Can't see any real details, but they have differing. Their skin is very pale white, and then they have like streaks of paint or blood or some ink or something on them. And they are sort of dancing in a heretical frenzy around the fire. Jerking motions, not a smooth musical dance, but like halting, stopping, jerking motions, and they are moaning as they do it. And then you see seven basically large-ish humanoids, and you can't really talk. So you like if one of you can identify them, the others maybe not so much. But anyway, they're not hobgoblins. They have muscular bodies, a lot of fur, and kind of conical shape to their head. In any case, as you're at about 100 yards from them, one of them notices the flaming lights that Klum is sending in from another direction and gets the attention of a couple of the others. And three of the seven set out to go and find out what's going on in that general direction. And we will unfortunately not be able to have this fight. We will not be able to have this fight tonight, unfortunately. But so the three of them run out to check and see what is going on with the lights. The other four remain kind of surrounding the two females. As you get to be maybe 80 yards away or so, you realize that there are a number of smallish animals that have been sacrificed laying on the stone in front of the two females, like birds and squirrels and whatever. There's some kind of animal sacrifice there. But what is most disturbing is that there is a what appears to be a human female clad, wearing robes, and she has one sandal. Her right foot has a sandal, and she is bound, laying on the platform behind the flames. So as you're looking down on it, there are four of these. I'll just tell you they're ogres. Four ogres with their backs to you. And there's the two women dancing around the fire doing some kind of ritual, and there's all these little animals that have been sacrificed or sliced up or burnt up or whatever on the ground in front of the fire. And on the back side of the fire, there is a single female in robes, and she could be a teenager or something, early 20s. She has boobs, so she's probably, you know, she's older. She's not a child. Okay, you can see that she's not a child. Okay. And she's fully clad from shoulder to calf in a robe, and her robe is kind of like a pale brown color, and she's blonde. And her hair is matted down with sweat or blood. So she is either a forced witness or possibly a future sacrifice. Either way, they appear to be up to no good. It will not take long for the three ogres that ran out the right side of the encampment to determine that the lights are not people. There's no way that Klum can have them fly far enough away to draw them pretty far away. You're just dividing their forces and helping them not notice you, so which has been effective because you should be able to get to within 30, 40 yards of them before they know you're coming. Okay? Unfortunately, we're going to have to call it because it's getting late. Checking the calendar real quick. I think I have my calendar actually has a potential next date. Find my calendar. Also, have I shared the Google Doc that has the Low Moon calendar on it with you guys? I think I shared with some of you. Some of you have it, some of you don't, I think. Well, it's the same one as before, so if you ever had it, it's the same one. So I'm trying to find it right now myself. Oh, it's a sheet. That's why it's not a doc, it's a sheet. Anyway, for the foreseeable future, we are trying to avoid Thursday nights because Ricky has a Thursday night class. Yeah. In part, that's part of why. Okay. So I have on my calendar February 10th, which is a Monday.
Are you okay, buddy?
Okay. And then I also have February 24th because February is a two-time month, if we can pull that off.
I'll put it in the calendar, but I need no promises for that part of it.
I understand. So So you have it. Ricky, I'm sharing it with you right now, although I'm not sure how much control of your schedule you are. But Arden, you said you might not have it.
I don't remember.
I think I have James that has a Yahoo email. He's like, let me check. I've shared it with Ricky and Arden. Okie dokie. Signing off. Stay tuned for more Lomunian adventures.